Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio none other than the citizen lobbyist. And wow, we had quite an assembly meeting last night. I when it started out, I said, well, this won't be too much.
You jinx us every time, Mike. Just can't say that anymore.
No.
What looks like a easy go through, but you know, really, we should know anytime there's marijuana on the agenda, it's never short and sweet.
Yeah,
and
things get,
last night was no exception.
Yeah, slow down. And in fact, that's probably where we're going to begin, unless you want to talk about a couple
of things.
Well,
we should let listeners know who was there, because I think people are interested in that.
Right.
They're just getting started after the new year. And everybody was there except Mr. Sykes, who was on the phone. He had a scheduled long holiday vacation. Well deserved, but he did call in and he did stay for the duration of the meeting. Mr. Beck couldn't call in unless they get that capacity on an airplane because he was coming back from his own, so he did not call in, nor was he there.
Right.
Mr. Culligan and McKee were actually there. They've missed the last two or three meetings, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. So they were both there. So other than that, they had a pretty full quorum, so we should probably let them know that. There was a quick city report from the city of Wasilla, and then they pretty much, one little thing, I don't know if we should probably make note of this, Mike. I was thinking about this on the way over. Normally, there's not much to share with listeners about what the clerk has to say. Normally, it's about scheduling of meetings and that sort of thing, and the attorney has a chance for his comments. Last night, there was an attorney comment, and he let them know that the borough was served with another lawsuit.
Right.
This one was a lawsuit from someone who had been discharged from the hospital and had called emergency services. He was having some problems. And before they got back to the hospital, apparently they expired. So there's been a lawsuit filed on behalf to just about everybody, it sounds like, including the borough and the hospital and doctor and those sort of things. So but it's out there, and he didn't give any real indication. It was late Friday afternoon. Apparently, that's a really popular time to be sued when you
right.
get those things. So he really hadn't had a chance to look at it, nor did he have a date that he needed to respond or what would happen from here on out. But cha-ching, cha-ching. So, yeah, let's dig into it, Mike, because really the big thing on the agenda last night was marijuana again.
I guess I understand that this is a complex problem requiring some thoughtful discussion, and yet I continue to have this feeling that the process is somehow fragmented and episodic. It pops up, or it has over the past, goes away for a while, pops up again. Not because there's been a decision, but in most cases, because it's been delayed for one reason or another. And I'll just preliminarily say that my impression about the people who were coming once again to speak, to testify, were kind in explaining from their perspective how this lengthy process has affected them as entrepreneurs who presumably are being welcomed into the borough to conduct a legal operation of economic development. I mean, I'll phrase it that way. Now, underneath, we have all kinds of interesting things going on. But I was impressed listening to many of the people speak clearly and personally and make requests that were very specific in nature.
Well, last night was probably a case of be careful what you ask for. And I can understand the way you feel. This whole journey has been a bit of a whack-a-mole. But first of all, it was an ordinance that was amending actually borough code for general standards for the marijuana, for marijuana growing, cultivating marijuana, basically, in the borough. And you're right. There's a lot of people that got very excited when it passed the preliminary vote to be able to cultivate and sell marijuana in the borough. They rushed out and started planning for businesses, investing money, buying property, that sort of thing. There was a lot of testimony last night from people that had either move back to Alaska, move to the borough specifically for this endeavor, new to the borough, new to the processes of starting a business in the borough. And they were visibly a little tired of the whole thing because they have been there on several occasions. But let's just kind of roll back how this all started. This started with the voters' initiative. It was voted on
statewide.
It was voted on. Then came a 17-member by the last borough mayor appointed marijuana board that had to be introduced, had to be accepted by the borough that they would have a board. It had to be appointed. There was some long length of time in there that the former mayor, Larry DeVilbiss, was able to decide who went on that board. They then decided that the 17 members needed 17 alternate members. This has taken an enormous amount of time just because of that. Then we had a planning commission that had some quorum problems, and things got tossed back to them. In the mix of something there, Alex Strong from the compliance department did come to the assembly, which it seemed to me that a lot of the assembly members forgot last night about this, and gave out a big comprehensive of what he had gleaned from it, what they could and couldn't do with the ordinance, what were the recommendations from the planning department based on what had been done in Oregon and Colorado. He also was pretty transparent, I thought, although I don't think there was unanimous agreement from some of the testifiers, of saying that what he had heard from the industry and what they wanted. And the borough assembly kicked it down the road a little longer because by that point, another voters' initiative had been introduced, arguably started by ex-Mayor Larry DeVilbiss, and to repeal the law and to repeal the ability to even cultivate in the in the borough. So that kicked around until the October election. So, yeah, it's been arduous. I can see where there's a lot of people that would be pretty disillusioned with the process. It's not your normal process. The borough has never been in the business to run these type of businesses, nor has the state. There's been a lot of waiting around and see what the state guidelines would be, so because they could either accept those guidelines or they could make their own guidelines. And I don't think you've heard the end of this. And at the root of all of this, to me, is a glaring example of, once again, the borough wanting to function without any real good rules, as in any type of zoning. We have some special land districts, but we don't have any designated residential districts, industrial districts. So for a new business owner to come in with any type of expectation of things not changing when you don't have that in place, I can see where that would disrupt your business plan. And if you didn't have a solid business plan and you didn't have your financial plan around that instability of not knowing what changes were going to be there, that could create some chaos. And I think that's what we've seen at this point.
Well, and I appreciate that. I think that's an important review. I would just also suggest that the borough does as the borough wishes to do, sometimes with a look at other places. It's, I think, instructive, however, to consider that in Alaska, in a variety of places, from Fairbanks to Juneau to Anchorage to Valdez, there have been entities that have local governing authorities that have managed to work this out. So,
Mike, they're not 26,000 square miles big, and they have most of them have some type of local zoning.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. In fact, I asked the compliance officer about that after. Did you really take a hard look at Oregon? Did you really take a hard look at Colorado? Because Washington, they've all been doing this. He said they have zoning. It's a much more clear-cut path to follow when you have that example. We don't have that.
And so,
but let's just say that this ordinance has passed, and all ordinances are subject to amendment at any point in time from here on. It won't help the people who are upset about the 100-foot setback, which was most of the testimony last night. That is a big setback, the biggest one we have in the borough setback. It does limit, what you can, how much you can cultivate on a small lot. It's arguably protects some existing landowners and some conflicts that might ensue, but that can be back in front of them at some point and remedied. It did include a provision and exclusion for small growers, which they'd all wanted. So that was sort of a win-win. So I think this is going to be one of those messy things that you're going to walk away and not everybody's going to be happy. And hopefully once things transpire a little further, they take a look at it and they find some way to issue variances when the setback isn't applicable, and they put it in code so it's really clear.
So right now it's pretty much hardwired, 100 feet, that's it. There's no way immediately to seek a variance.
I think from what I heard last night, it kind of depends on where the 100 feet is, because if it's into a borough right away, that's an easier thing to do a variance for. But if it's your neighbor's property and he doesn't want to sell the property, the borough's not going to force you to get a variance there. That's what it sounded like to me. But I don't think we've heard the end of it. I think you've heard the end of it for a while, because as Mr. Kawaki said, there's other irons in the fire, and this is a very important issue, but we have lots of other big issues that we need to take on, and we're spending an enormous amount of time on this. So I think that's where we're at.
And there was no move for reconsideration?
Not yet. It's always possible.
And that would be interesting.
Yep. They have, into business day, I always forget how that goes, today or,
So there's a little room there.
They have a little wiggle room there, but, I think the assembly is really beginning to tire of this as much as the growers are.
Okay. So that took a good portion of the meeting to begin with, because there were large numbers of people that came up. I don't know. It seemed to me you may have
a couple hours. I didn't. I would say I didn't go back and I write people's names down, but I didn't do a count. But I'd say 30, at least 30, or somewhere in that number.
So then they had time because they went on slightly past 10 on Tuesday to consider some other topics, and one other that leaps out at me had to do with something that is normally a pretty easygoing thing, and that has to do with the vacancy report. And in this case, there were two names that popped up, and the vacancy report usually has a variety of different positions for different things. And at the request of Mr. Culligan, I believe, they separated out two names, and one of them was going to be considered at the next meeting and had to do with a fire service area. Mm-hmm.
Getting feedback from a fire service area.
And of course, in a case like that, I again think about the process and say, well, this wasn't a surprise. This name was known.
Maybe that's something they should start considering
having done that. So here you have this. But the second name, of course, I thought it's somewhat more interesting, because we had two people actually speak somewhat passionately about the need for some kind of balance in the position of the position and a recommendation of Michelle Church be appointed to the Planning Commission.
And pretty qualified. She sat on it before, and she's also sat on the assembly. Hard to get qualifications
bigger
than that.
Maybe that's the problem.
Maybe.
Yeah, whatever.
But seemed to be sort of a personal vendetta for sure. And it was a very, it makes me sad when that happens. It really does, because I feel very strongly that these bodies should be nonpartisan and that they should leave their political armor at the door. That was clear last night that Mr. Culligan, who wasn't even his district, actually, so it wasn't really in question for him. It was a personal and a political vendetta, and I will say that on record. I think that was disappointing to see. Mr. McKee, it was his district. Certainly he should weigh in on it, although he didn't admit that he had not even spoken to Ms. Church, but he had just received emails, and then Assemblywoman Barbara Doty, who did vote to pass her through, said, I got emails from your constituents as well supporting her. So at the end of the day, the question was called for, and her name was taken out of the mix, but they will leave it open. They didn't move anybody from the nominating column over. They're going to leave the door open for someone else.
And of course, this causes us to look back and consider the process for a mayor making appointments, typically with a bow toward a particular district to provide representation and input from a representative on the assembly from that district. And in this case...
Well, you know, this kind of sitting there, Mike, I had to be kind of reminded that I remember when Warren Keough was a representative from District 1, and he had brought forth a name, trained planner who actually has a degree in planning that was in his district that he wanted to be on there. And it was Mr. Culligan and some other people on the assembly at that time who wouldn't let him have who he wanted and denied that seat to be given to her and appointed it to a male who was arguably much less qualified. So these battles, we haven't had one for a while, but I'm reminded that they do exist. I think, you know, back in the days when I started watching the assembly about 10 years ago, there was a couple of these instances when it happened. So we haven't seen it for a while. I hope this isn't signs of times to come because it's an important body and it's important that it be a nonpartisan person that's able to look, have experienced eyes as well as seeing it from both sides of the aisle. And I hope we're not seeing the beginning of real partisan politics here.
And by that, what you're saying is that they are individuals have been identified as, and I think the conversation from both Mr. Mayfield and Mr. Culligan suggested that individuals were inherently biased in looking at topics from a certain perspective and were unable to be somehow a balanced person here. And yet, very often is...
But they used bias to defeat them, so...
Right. I'm thinking, oh, okay, how does that measure? But I think your earlier comment is probably the most important, that... This has a personal quality of not agreeing with someone perhaps in the past and not being able to move beyond that to say this is an experienced person, or it's an attempt, as you are further suggesting, to control the way a commission will lean, and that has been troubling at various levels, whether you're talking about the state or the national levels. But what we've long experienced, I think, both whether it's the city of Palmer, noted in its planning group and in the borough, is the opportunity to have people who are, one, willing to dedicate the enormous amount of time. And in some cases, and I'm thinking about Helga Larson, for example, longtime server on that body, and who was eminently qualified and as best I could tell was respected for her even-handedness when she was either chairing the body or participating. And that's what you're really looking for, I think.
Same could be said for Marty Quine that was served for a long time on the Road Service Board in the Butte area. It was quite respected in his area, and the same fate befell him. So... I think that Mayor Halter handled it as best that he could. He wasn't given the opportunity to cast the deciding vote as a tie. It was 4-2. And so he wasn't able to really do anything about that. But I think he handled it eloquently and as fair as he could. So I don't think it lies at the feet of his failure. I think he did what he could.
So in between those two topics, one, of course, the marijuana discussion that occurred early in the meeting and this discussion, which occurred toward the end, there were a few other things that happened, but they sort of pale, at least in my memory. Do you want to bring up any of those others?
No, you know, they pulled a few things off the consent agenda to have a conversation about them, but nothing... nothing too, most of them were regarding, they passed a couple of certificates of participation last night in lieu of, it's kind of in the weeds here, but normally when we do a capital project, build a building, build a fire station, build a school, it's pretty routine to go to the voter and ask them to tax themselves, basically, by allowing the borough to borrow money on their behalf to build these facilities. And there is a way around that, so to speak. And actually, I think former Mayor Larry DeVilbiss outlined it pretty good when he objected to it in his public testimony on it. But the borough may sort of go around the voter, it can be said, by issuing these lease certificates of participation. That's how boy, the animal shelter was built after it failed in front of the voters. And there was a lot of uprising over that at the time about going around the voter. But since then, there's been 3 fire stations built. One was on the ballot last, or one was on the agenda last night, along with a maintenance facility. And they are, as I think everybody would agree, they're needed projects. I was a little surprised to see the training center get money for this, the fire training center, even though it's something that's been long planned out because of the physical environment that we're in right now. People aren't building these projects, and one was a $93,000, and the other one was a $5 million. This is not couch change. So I was a little surprised to hear it, and there was a little bit of pushback about that. But
ultimately
they passed.
Now, there was one other event that occurred. The ghost of assembly and the legislature passed. A gentleman that arrived, still representative, Jim Culver, has a short time left before the new legislature is brought into play. But he was there to assist in what was another kind of certificate, in this case a certificate of appreciation to a gentleman who had been long involved. And I found his voice to be clear as he thanked people and spoke to it. Yeah,
Bruce Knowles.
He'd been involved.
I think this may be the second or third time that Mr. Culver has presented a certificate of appreciation for him. He definitely has served the borough well.
Right.
That was the first few minutes of the meeting.
Okay. Well,
you were across town at the City of Palmer. Are we going to save that for next week? Or
I would just say the City of Palmer worked its way through primarily the major issue being the funding, a kind of a convoluted and extensive bonding for monies to respond to the request that the wastewater treatment plan be improved. And so they're under the gun. They've been told to do stuff, and they're working it through. I think the most important thing was the impression I had that, one, the council was very appreciative of the presentation that the city manager did, which was pretty comprehensive and clear. They asked questions.
Hard topic to understand.
They had good questions. They went through because this is a commitment of sorts, and it's not neat in the sense that you say, oh, we've got this money, we're going to do this in this time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that will happen as a result going on down the line. So it's a continuing dynamic situation. But I think he was able to clearly point that because it's under an instruction from a body that has the authority to tell the city what to do, it's going to roll nicely. And I think they were appreciative of the work that's been done and the way that's going. I think, although there are a few other things that were done, mostly that was the big point.
One more thing on the borough, if we have a second here, that sure. I did forget to talk about, Mike, is there was a resolution supporting legislation to adopt the real property sales tax disclosure in Alaska. That's gotten some social media talk. And we're one of 3 states, I think, that you are not required to report to the state what you sell your property for, which sounds like rah-rah. We don't have to have that government overreach. The downside to that is no one knows what your property's worth. And so even though the state requires the borough to give an accurate assessment on evaluation of what your property is worth, it's kind of a crapshoot because they can only know so much. And this was a resolution. There seems to be some movement for some type of legislation that will be moving forth to the legislature to change that, to give cities, boroughs, the ability to start reporting it. And they wanted, Mr. Moosey actually was pretty passionate about this wanted support for that he could send, and he was denied that support.
Oh, really?
It failed last night.
Wow. What was the vote?
Let's see if I have it here. I think that it, it was a tie, and the mayor did break that tie.
And he said no.
Whoa. Jim Sykes, George was in charge. He was in favor of that last night. And Randall Kerwacki were in favor, and Barbara Doty, Mr. Mayfield and Steve Culligan was against, and
that
the mayor
is a surprise.
And the mayor broke the tie, and it's down for now. Now that could come back too. It didn't have a bill number on it because the pre-files just came out.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Citizen Lobbyists, for coming in here and doing what you do so well.
We'll see you. We won't have a meeting next week. Will be a school board meeting on Wednesday night.
Alrighty. Have a good day.